Dana Johansson, good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
Dana is... just trying to find your title. Where are you? They always put it at the bottom. Here we are. Stuff's national correspondent specialising in sport. Now, we mentioned a bit about the IPL, obviously. It does become a shambles, obviously, with you know, the awful, awful outbreak in India. And gradually, I think it dawned that players ought not be there. Can we just pick up a little on what's happened over the last week or so? We saw those New Zealand players getting a charter flight home, most of them anyway.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an ongoing saga, hasn't it? They finally arrived back earlier this week after those charter flights were delayed. And it sort of had last helicopter out of Saigon vibes to it a little bit. But some players have arrived back home and are going into quarantine. And then the Black Caps that have come back will then link up with the team once they've gone through quarantine. We'll head back to the UK for that upcoming tour. The one person that wasn't on that flight that there's a lot of concern over was Tim Seifert, who remains in India after testing positive for COVID-19. And apparently... they'd been having daily tests for about 10 days leading up to this flight, and he'd passed all of them until, you know, come the day of departure, and he failed. So
I think teammates had tested positive. At least two teammates had tested positive, hadn't they, prior to that?
That's right. Yeah. So really anxious time for him, and you can imagine, you know, his heart must have just sunk when he heard that news. So he, I understand, has been put into a private hospital in Chennai while he... undergoes quarantine. I don't think his condition is that serious, but obviously looking after the players very well over there. Because the healthcare system in India for the general wider public is not too flash. So, hugely anxious time for him.
It's also raising the question of this pandemic still being in full flight in parts of the world. Japan, of course, we know Tokyo had another, they went into another... emergency measure as well, and the questions are still coming about those Olympics, aren't they? I think the torch relay has been cancelled. I think some American athletes, as I understand it, who were meant to head there for pre-tournament preparation have put that off, and you're just left wondering, aren't you?
I think that the whole situation with the IPL has really underlined how precarious these events can be. I mean, it took one player testing positive. I think what happened was they left the kind of bubble to go get a scan on his shoulder, and somewhere along the lines that the precautions they had in place, there was a break in the chain or the link, and that's all it took really to collapse this event. And you've got to say this, you can see the same thing happening with Tokyo as well. It would only take one kind of minor event to really bring the whole event down. Just seems to be built on a bit of a sandcastle at the moment. So, some huge decisions to be made around that. And it almost feels like the organisers are waiting for the decision to be made for them, waiting for something to happen that kind of forces their hand, because no one wants to be the one to kind of say, yeah, this can't happen.
All right, now speaking of the Black Caps, obviously we had players in the IPL, and so that's where the cricket had been focused up until things got so bad in India, where the attention definitely moved. But, of course, there's another big event on the cricket schedule, right? An historic event, in fact.
Yes, as the number two test-playing nation in the world, I like saying that smugly, the Black Caps will feature in the World Test Championship final next month against India. That is going to be held in the UK, so they're heading over to the UK earlier and getting in a couple of test matches against England. You don't like to call it a kind of warm-up when you're playing England at Lord's, but... it will certainly help them prepare for that big final against India in Southampton. So it's just been such an amazing story, the Black Caps, hasn't it? They kind of rise through the ranks of Test cricket, and you could say they got a bit lucky. Some of the bigger nations, or the big three like India, England, and Australia, have a much harder run because they only like to play Tests against one another.
And of course, it's the weird kind of it's not like not quite Duckworth Lewis, but there's always these weird computation systems that.
Yeah.
That spit out who's where. But still, we've got to credit what has been achieved in the last year or two in that side, and the depth in that side in particular. I am keen on your take on Vijay Watling retiring, announcing intends to retire after the tour. He is one of those players who is always there, is always delivering, but never, you never talk about him like you talk a Kane Williamson or a Brendan McCullum or, these are players whose consistency of performance makes them an anchor of the team, right?
Absolutely. He's probably been one of those pivotal figures in New Zealand's cricket improbable rise that we've been talking about, you know, since that dark period back in 2013, 2014. And he has been described, there's been a lot of tributes to him this week. It's probably come a bit too early. I guess the naming of the contracted players list today kind of forced his hands and to reveal his plans. But yeah, he's described as the ultimate team man, and he has amassed quite a few records, but he just kind of has flown under the radar a little bit, you know, being around the Williamsons, McCullum slightly earlier in his career, and the Ross Taylors. But yeah, he's just been a really incredible, consistent performer, both with the gloves and with the bat. He's had some really good knocks there, so that memorable sort of partnership with McCullum. That record, I think that was a record as well. So yeah, a really, really great play, and I think he will leave a hole, but as you say, there is incredible depth coming through in those test ranks at the moment.
Including in the keepers. I think the other thing is that we often focus on leadership and we think of the captains, you think of your Kane Williamsons, or we think of very, very senior players, old hands like a Ross Taylor. But there are certain personalities within a team who are just so reliable for, you know, turning up on the day, no matter how they're feeling, turning up in the dressing rooms and just reminding players of the amazing privilege they have, really. And from what I've been reading and hearing, he's one of those players. He's never lost the sort of childlike enthusiasm for playing for New Zealand.
Yeah, absolutely. But also now as one of the wiser heads in the team, I think he's also played that role of being a really good sounding board and support person behind the scenes for the leaders, the likes of Taylor and Williamson. So, yeah, I think he will leave a huge hole in terms of that whole leadership picture in the team. But in terms of talent and depth, I think New Zealand cricket will be very comfortable with where they're at and what's coming through.
Now, rugby, and we are unfortunately having one of those times where player behaviour off the field is almost a weekly occurrence that we're seeing it in headlines at the moment.
Yeah, there's just been a couple of incidents this week. Shannon Frizzell was the big headline at the beginning of the week, the Highlanders player. Has been alleged to be involved in assault at a Dunedin bar. He hasn't been charged of any wrongdoing. However, he has been left out of the team to face the Reds tonight. And the other one was a kind of a weird story about the Chiefs behaving badly after the Crusaders' loss and drowning their sorrows, although the team are quite insistent that there were no players involved in that incident. Sounds like maybe some downtrodden supporters were causing havoc in a hotel down in Christchurch. So, yeah, that certainly overshadowed the start of the Super Rugby Trans-Tasman competition, which kicks off tonight, which, yeah, it kind of feels like a little bit of a sequel to the Super Rugby Aotearoa. So it's almost like a blast from the past. It's only been a year since we've faced these Australian sides, but it sounds quite exotic to hear the Brumbies are in town sort of thing. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, dare we talk about a Rugby World Cup? Of course, it's next year. And have we already been moving the dates around?
Yes. Earlier this year, it was announced that it has going to be pushed back a year due to COVID-19 and the havoc it wreaks on all of world sports. So they've announced the new dates this week, and it's kind of just been tweaked slightly with the format. It's been shifted back to slightly later. It'll start in early October and run through to mid-November. But I think the big thing in that announcement was that it's kind of been extended out slightly, I think, for something from like 35 days to 42. To allow sort of more time and the turnaround between matches, which is something I hadn't really thought about until it was announced, really. But, you know, the original schedule had these teams playing sort of, you know, three or four days turnaround. Now they have a minimum 5-day turnaround, which is in line with what happens in the men's event. So it's really good to see they're actually taking player welfare seriously, and tends to be like with women's events, they're just trying to shoehorn it into the schedule. So it's good they're giving it some breathing space.
Of course, the Women's World Cup got put back to 2022, I think, didn't it? It was going to happen this year originally, wasn't it? That's Cricket World Cup.
That's right, yep. Yeah. Both the Cricket World Cup and the Rugby World Cup were pushed back to next year.
So that's going to be a big year for World Cups.
Huge year. Yeah. Huge,
yeah. Hey, we never finished that discussion about some of the player behaviour stuff, because I know there's been some other incidents. I saw the Highlanders in the local paper for some loud parties a few weeks back, and I think this week, after the Super Rugby final you were talking about, again, there were some complaints. I don't know, is it just that people are quicker to complain and social media allows that to sort of get into the headlines, or are we seeing some issues around, you know, professional teams and needing to understand behaviour and brand management go hand in hand?
I think certainly with the Highlanders, it's sort of been an ongoing thing for a couple of years now. There was incidents last year in Queenstown. So I'm not really sure what's going on in that team environment, that this is continually becoming an issue. And certainly, like, once it crops up once, then people are probably more likely to complain, or it's happening again sort of thing, whereas if it's just a one-off, you might cut them some slack. With the Chiefs, they obviously had their battles maybe 3 or 4 years ago after a really, really unfortunate post-season event, which was just sounded horrific. And since then, I think they have cleaned up their act, so it is a bit unfortunate that this incident popped up this week, and as they're saying, there wasn't any of our players involved. It was potentially some supporters. I just think potentially you shouldn't address it as a rugby problem, but certainly in some team environments it is a problem.
Yeah, and the thing is, the eyes and ears are everywhere these days. That's the point, and so is the ability to communicate dissatisfaction. Okay, and finally today, Dana, what's happening with the Conor McGregor? We're into MMA here, of course.
Oh, yes. Forbes have listed their sporting rich list, which I always love to read. And this year it's topped by MMA star Conor McGregor. $252 million he earned last year. And that is, I was just looking at it, that's High Performance Sport New Zealand's entire budget.
Eek.
Yeah.
That should be enough then for a while.
Bit of money in fighting if you're interested, Catherine.
Oh, there's huge money in MMA. Not my bag, but I know how popular it is and how much money's in it. Thanks very much, Dana Johansson, who is South National Correspondent for Sports and Social Issues and our sports commentator.